First question, Nick Pecoro.
Hey, Brent, it's Nick with the Arizona Republic. Congrats on the job. What made this landing spot appealing for you?
Well, you know, it's obviously I live in Tucson, Arizona, which is obviously proximity played a piece in it. You know, there was nothing that transpired with the Astros that created this move. It was more of a, it's hard to explain, more of a gut feeling that my time there, the 8 years I was there, we achieved a great deal. And I just kind of felt like a change was needed for whatever reason. And I'm grateful for the Diamondbacks to place some trust in me and see where we go from here. You know, we saw them last year at our place, and I have seen them a few times in the past because we have that home and home with them. And so I'm just kind of excited. It's kind of a new challenge, a fresh start, and I've been doing a lot of homework on guys, and the people I've met in the organization thus far have been very gracious and very open with their thoughts. And I've been calling the pitchers and trying to get to know them a little bit.
Zach Buchanan.
Hi, Brent. Congrats. I'm Zach. I cover the team for The Athletic. I think you had said maybe leading into the World Series that you were at least thinking about retirement. How seriously did you think about stepping away from the game altogether?
Well, you know, I think at times during the season for the past eight years or so, last 5 years in particular, we've had some very high stressful moments. And a lot of times I take that upon myself a great deal. And quite frankly, I was, you know, the living with every pitch in a playoff situation with a team that you hope to win a World Series with, that you're somewhat expected to do very well, can be very stressful. And that's not to say that, any other job at this major league level is not stressful, but you know, I was just getting a little bit concerned in terms of how I was feeling about things, and I just basically let James Click know about 6 weeks prior to the end of the season that I was contemplating this. As I mentioned in my quick getaway, as I tried to sneak out of the stadium after game six, and I got caught by the media. The two young guys that we had working there this year, Josh Miller and William Murphy, are truly outstanding young pitching coaches. I'm not sure what direction the team will go to replace me, but I'm very replaceable. The guys that are not replaceable are all the analytics people, the medical staff, and in particular the gifted pitchers that I had the opportunity to have for the last 8 years.
Steve Gilbert.
Hey, Brent, Steve Gilbert with MLB.com. You're known to be somebody that really is interested in the analytics. Could you just talk about how you kind of mold the teaching aspect with analytics?
Well, when I was, I've been hired and fired a few times in my career, and I had the opportunity when I was with the Dodgers to spend a lot of time with a lot of the great Dodger pitchers of yore, primarily Sandy Koufax and others. And we started talking at times in just a locker room and things like that, where I'm sitting around doing graduate work as a AAA pitching coach with the likes of Sandy Koufax, the late Larry Sherry, when Don Drysdale was alive, and then the catchers like Roseboro and those people. And we started to talk a little bit about the elevated fastball and the four-seam fastball up in the zone. I remember watching the 65 World Series with the Dodgers versus the Twins, and Koufax pitching on 2 days rest through, I think, 90% fastballs. And I bet you 80% of them were in the upper part of the zone. And so we started looking at that. And, you know, the game used to be induced contact, work horizontally. And so we basically started to look at perhaps there's some way to flip the strike zone into a vertical type strike zone instead of horizontal. And then when I went to St. Louis, kind of brought that mindset there to an organization with Jeff Lunau, who brought me aboard, that was really more of a induced ground balls, strikeouts are not important, keep the ball on the ground, which was fine because they had a group of pitchers that could do that. And they had a catcher that believed in it in Yadier Molina. But eventually, as we started to draft some power arms like Rosenthal and Shelby Miller and people like that, we gradually started to see the advantage of the elevated fastball. And basically the analytics kind of confirmed that. We had a lot of brilliant people over there led by Jeff Luhnow, who I'm deeply indebted to for bringing me back into the game because I was out for a couple of years. And Sig Medhall with the Baltimore Orioles, Mike Fast with the Braves. We had a group that really studied pitch swings and pitch shapes and things like that. We started the shift. We understood, we started to look at Eggertronic, and TrackMan came aboard. So it was kind of exciting time to kind of look at what I had been doing, realizing the mistakes that I had made in the past, and being able to verify when I would make a suggestion to somebody. It was very helpful to be able to verify from an objective standpoint the work that you subjectively saw. I think the old timers, they subjectively and felt things that they did, and they were correct. They just didn't have the technology to show them that, and now we do.
Derek Montilla.
Hey, Brent. Derek Montilla with PHNX. Congratulations on the job with the D-backs. I wanted to ask, the Houston Astros were in a very similar position as far as record-wise and ERA when you joined them in 2014. Were the similarities part of the reason why you wanted to come over here to the D-backs and help this team with their pitching and their win total?
I wouldn't say that was a major thing. You know, in 2014, I came aboard, I think the team had 3 consecutive 100-year losses. I think that year we went 72-90, and you'd have thought we won the World Series. It was that much of a leap. But I wouldn't say that, the struggles that the D-backs had last year, enticed me to see what I could do over here. I think actually they were the only team that came calling, quite frankly, outside of consulting type work, which I had considered. But with the Diamondbacks giving me a chance, and I'd heard so much from so many people about the quality of people that work in this organization, that it was worth meeting them and seeing if they had some interest. Obviously, I did. This retirement thing, I had talked to people. You guys are all a lot younger than I am, and you'll eventually be where I'm at. But I talked to a number of people about retirement. 50% said it's great, and 50% said it sucks. Okay, so they really gave me no answer. And, I was home for a couple of days and realized I missed it. I was disappointed, obviously, in the World Series loss, but I had to take solace in the fact that we did win the American League pennant and had a really good run, especially the last 6 years of my run there with the Astros. And as I said earlier, it's just a gut feeling to kind of move on. Jeff Luhnow, when I was with the Cardinals and as a coordinator, I was very happy with that job because it allowed me to get home. I could make my own schedule. And he challenged me, actually. He created a challenge. He said, "Do you want to see if your stuff works at the highest level?" And I said, "Yes, I do." And so it's going to be interesting to, as I delve into do a deep dive into the Diamondbacks pitching to see where I might be able to nudge somebody one way or another. There is talent here from the little bit that I've been able to glean. I'm going to be going up tomorrow to the complex, and we're going to meet and go over the relievers. I've done the starters. And as I keep gathering information and talking to the pitchers themselves, I think it's going to be a good ride. And I just hope that, that we obviously can improve. That's our goal.
Hold on. Jack Summers.
Hi, Jack Summers from azsnakepit.com, part of the SB Nation family of fan blogs. Welcome and congratulations, first of all.
Thank you.
So you had mentioned a little earlier that you felt that the analytics people were irreplaceable, or more replaceable, less replaceable than you. And you just mentioned about nudging players along. One of the debates that frequents the pages of our blog site is just how much influence a coach has over the players, how much impact they really have. Some people think it's a great deal. Some people think coaches' impact is overrated. And I'm just curious from your perspective where you fall on that. And I know that's a little bit of self-evaluation involved there, but maybe you can help add to that discussion that a lot of the fans have.
Yeah, I get to ask that question once in a while. Bill Parcells once made a statement. He said, "Writers write, coaches coach, players play." And it's still a player's game. You have to have talent. I think even major league players, the Verlanders, Coles, Keuchels, Mortons, McHughes, all the different pitchers that I had in Houston, they still have issues at times. You know, they're not, even though you look at them and say they're really great, and which they are, they're at the top of their field and they're elite in their own way. They still have times where just somebody to talk to, somebody to show them something different. It could be as innocuous as a grip change. It could be as innocuous as a change in the post foot on the rubber so that they don't rush. I think one of the things that we do need to be a little afraid, I'm a little bit afraid of, I think the needle has nudged a little bit too far to the analytic side. I think we've become so technologically advanced that we forget the human element in this thing. So I think it's a fine blend of you know, how do you feel? How does the ball feel coming out of your hand? This is what the numbers show. Don't rely on either one too much. Kind of blend it together and basically, hopefully, the information that you glean is transferable to the player, because a lot of smart people in the front office, but they made it simple for me. When I had a question and I didn't understand something, they were very, very cognizant of the fact that I needed to understand it if I was going to get it to the pitchers and to the catchers, whether it be sequencing or mechanical movements or stride length or stride direction, things like that. And then my job was to try and find a way to have them find it themselves, rather than verbally telling them what to do, to offer a suggestion, maybe show a drill that will get them to feel the movement pattern so that they can retain that. Obviously, guided discovery and understanding something yourself is a lot stronger than having somebody bang on you or tell you verbally or however, how to do something. So we still have ways to go, but I thought we did that very well in Houston. I will say one thing and I've told this to a number of people, I thought I got way, way too much publicity for being the guy in Houston. I was the guy that they saw on television. I was the point guy. The entire group just really worked well together. They're all going in the same direction, all had one goal. And when we realized we had a really good team for the last 6 years or so, we were full bore trying to win a World Series. So it was a team effort all the way.
Evan Thompson.
Hi, Brian. Evan Thompson. I cover the Diamondbacks for Last Word on Baseball. Within the Diamondbacks managerial and coaching staff, are there any members of those staffs that you have a relationship with prior to being hired by the team?
That's on the staff. I had a McKay. I knew from the Cardinal days, our first base coach, Dave. I knew him very well. In fact, he called me the other night. I didn't realize the issues he had gone through health-wise. I'm just really glad he's doing well now. He would be probably the only one that I really had much of a relationship with. Of course, you know, you do have a pitcher that was extremely good for me. I need to get him back in Chris Davinsky. Who I had with Houston, that I hope his health is coming along, because he can really help this team. Outside of that, I feel like my wife asked me how I felt after my first day up there. I felt like the little kid who's in a new town that his mother drops him off in front of elementary school. I'm a 6-year-old, and I got my lunch pail with my PB&J and a cookie and maybe a bag of chips, and I'm standing at the front of the door to a new elementary school, and she says, "Have a great day." And you're scared to death. So there's nerves involved with this, no matter how much you like to downplay it, but you want to get off on the right foot. And the people so far, the few trips I've made up there, they've been really welcoming and open. And one thing I'm very impressed with, I went up last Saturday, and I think the continuing education that Crenshaw and a couple of the other people have, I think that's really eye-opening. And I really, really enjoyed. He brought over some people from outside the organization to meet with the staff, and I thought that was really, really good. I stayed for it, and it's just an ongoing search for the answers. And I don't know what I don't know, and so it's just continuing to try and get better and rely on people that are smarter than me.
Zach Buchanan.
Brent, how quick was this process of kind of the Diamondbacks courting you? Because obviously, I don't think they were allowed to talk to you until after the World Series was over. Was it pretty lightning fast once it got going?
Yeah, after the final game, I went to a friend's wedding in South Texas, and my wife and I got in the car, and we made it to Las Cruces, and then I drove from there the next day into Tucson. And by that time, when I was in South Texas, I think 2 days after the series, Torrey called me, said there was some interest. I was excited about it. I told him my plans, that I would call him once I got back to Tucson, and then had a series of had a Zoom call with some of the front office people from Carlsbad, met up in Phoenix at the complex, and met with some people there, and then just kind of had to wait and see, because they had other candidates. I'm sure they had other viable candidates, and it just had to kind of wait and see how it wanted to play out. And then obviously the infamous background check took a few days, and I'm just glad they didn't find out that I cheated on a test in the sixth grade, a spelling test, and would have disqualified me for this job. So I'm very fortunate, very happy to jump into the fray and get going. It's funny. I was home for a couple of days, and I already missed it. You know, losing. I've had a couple losses: a Game 7 loss, which we're well aware of; a Game 6 loss; ALCS loss in the seventh game. So there's been some disappointments. You get really close to the top of the mountain, and it just makes you realize how difficult it is to pull that whole thing off. And so we'll see. I do have a friend in Louis Gonzalez, obviously, who I had with Houston Astros, and Louis, in fact, texted me. And I remember when Louis was a young player, I had him down in Tijuana in the winter ball as a player. And, you know, obviously his history with the Diamondbacks is well chronicled, obviously probably the biggest hit in D-backs history. And, one of the most gracious people I've ever been around. So I'm anxious to get back and, line up with him.
Jack Summers.
Hi, Brent. Just one more question. Has Torrey and you worked out yet what the structure is going to be? I know that, like, for example, on the hitting side, there's several assistant coaches going to be put in place, and there'll be some crossover between major and minor leagues to achieve continuity. Is the same structure being planned for the pitching side of things, and how far along are you in that?
Well, as I said, I'm going up tomorrow. Obviously, there's some internal candidates that they have talked to me about. I've given them two external candidates that I feel very comfortable with. So there's still a process of trying to do this. You know, I would really like to have someone with me in the dugout. While baseball's kind of changed now, we have a bullpen coach, and then a lot of teams have three coaches. I had that last year with the Astros for the first time, and it worked out very well with Murphy being beside me, a very knowledgeable young pitching coach, and then Josh Miller in the bullpen. So it worked out very well. We had each of us had our own strengths and weaknesses. So I would like to find somebody that is not exactly like me, and maybe a little bit different in terms of looking at things. And that way it keeps me on track and lets me know when I'm maybe doing some things incorrectly. And so I think that's where we're at right now, looking at some candidates, both internal and external, to see who which way we're going to go. But I do expect a second person in the dugout with me this season. That's my belief as we sit right now.
Zach Buchanan.
Brent, are there any practices that you guys kind of found successful with Houston that you'd like to introduce here that these guys are maybe not already doing?
Yeah, there's quite a few. You know, I've already shared a number of our things that we do in Houston and doing a comparison with what they do with the D-backs. Some of it is very similar and some of it is a little bit different. This is going to be open to discussion to determine what's going to be the best way moving forward. Without giving up my secrets here, there are some things that I think are going to benefit this pitching staff in terms of pitch sequencing, you know, using different pitches at certain times. There are some numbers that were a little bit disturbing to me that I saw with the D-backs pitching staff that that we did not have in Houston. And a lot of it could be, I don't think much of it was game planning. I don't think that was a problem. It was probably execution. You have to realize, as I said, I was blessed to have unbelievable talent. And that's a credit to Jeff Luhnow and James Click. The people they brought in were really my bullpen, for example, this year when James brought in an entirely new three-headed monster for me, it just transformed our bullpen, and it showed in the playoffs with my young starters having struggled. They really kept us in ball games, and you know, these are the kind of things that I will talk to them about in terms of makeup of a staff and what was successful with us. Not that it was the one way and only way, we're sharing ideas right now, and it's been really, really good so far.
Those numbers that you said were kind of disturbing, were those things like walk rate and percent of pitches in the heart of the zone, that kind of thing?
Well, it could be as simple as I'll give you an example that I mentioned to them. The D-backs ranked 30th in elevated fastballs. They ranked second in fastballs down in the zone. That's unsustainable in today's game for me. And it's something that that I think can be addressed, as long as we teach it correctly and explain why it works. You know, it's something that that probably contributed to maybe the less success that they should have achieved. But that's just one thing, you know. And they've been very forthcoming into what they think that their guys are capable of doing. Obviously. You know, the talent level will determine where we go and what we do, and we're going to try and turn every stone over that we think might be able to contribute to each guy getting better this year than last year. But that would just be one thing that we were very strong in that feeling over in Houston, as other teams are, and I think it's something that we can bring over here.
All right, last question, Evan Thompson.
Hey, Brent, helping me fill in a gap while I was doing my homework here. You mentioned coaching in the minors for the Dodgers and for the Cardinals. What other teams did you coach in the minors for?
Well, I've been hired and fired a few times, as I told you. I've been with the San Diego Padres as a coordinator. I was with the Montreal Expos as a minor league coach, coordinator, with the Dodgers initially. Got my start in AAA in Albuquerque back in 1980. So I'm going on 51 years or so, or 40 plus years of coaching after a very mediocre major league career. So I've been blessed to be around a lot of players, a lot of coaches that, and a lot of people on the outside of Major League Baseball. You know, a lot of people that have influenced my teachings as I continue to learn. And so there's been, Expos, Cardinals, Dodgers, a lot of different teams, Padres have added to my knowledge base, and it just continues. And I've learned things just in this past week that I didn't know. So it's an ongoing thing, and it's hopefully I can help the players.
Fantastic, Brent. Thank you for your time. And we're going to go ahead and
thank you.
Tori is on, and I'm going to.
Thanks, Brent.
Pin Tori, you got it, guys. Now.
Thank you, Brent.
All right. Have a good day, everybody.
We'll let Tori go live. Thanks again, Brent.
Okay. Take care.
There's Tori.
Man of the hour. Here we go. Nick Pecoro.
What's up, guys?
Oh, I guess just kind of tell us what drew you to Brent Strom.
Well, look, after spending these few minutes with him, talking to you guys, I'm sure you could see very quickly that he is more than captivating, more than prepared. And the fact that he was willing to sit down with me and show an interest in our job spoke volumes about his desire to make us better. And, you know, I was actually honored when he made the decision to, you know, continue teaching. And even more honored when I made that phone call to him and asked him if he'd be interested in spending a couple hours with me to see if there was any interest in joining our organization. And I could tell immediately upon sitting down with him that there was a connection. He's easy to talk to. He is loaded with information. His ability to communicate, his content, his ability to connect was off the charts. And I knew quickly that I was sitting in front of somebody pretty special. And I didn't want it to end when my time was up. And I felt like every time he was answering a question, and we've all been there as we were listening to somebody, sometimes you're not engaged and you're already thinking of your next question. Each time he answered a question, I was just like, I'd stare at him for another 2 or 3 seconds because I wanted him to continue saying more. You know, that's how captivating he was for me. And I'm just honored that he's a part of this organization. He's going to make us better. He already has.
Zach Buchanan.
Torrey, had you guys saved of all the positions you guys need to fill this offseason, had you saved this one for last because you thought Brent might become available, or just how did that all kind of fall into place?
Well, we felt like we had some really good candidates for the other positions that were hired rather quickly, and we wanted to let the World Series take place. And you know, a couple of candidates that we did have were still involved that late in the season. You know, we didn't know what Brent's situation was, but I will say that I was all over his postseason interview where he said he would be stepping away. And once I heard that, I felt like I was going to do all that I could to reach out to him and see if he was interested in getting back in the dugout. So we were waiting because we had a lot of candidates that were still involved. Obviously Brent being one of them, we hit the jackpot.
Derek Montilla.
Hey, Torrey, when you started assembling your coaching staff that you needed to hire, did you foresee it going in this way that you would be bringing on kind of an all-star caliber coaching staff of this much experience?
It was my desire to have this type of coaching staff built around me. And yes, I was hoping for something like this between he and Jeff Bannister. And, you know, there's going to be more hires along our path here that we're going to start to announce here shortly. That's exactly how I was putting it. I wanted all-star coaches around me, guys that were going to make this organization as good as possible with their teachings, with their content. So yes, I did fantasize about this, and it's coming true, and I'm very grateful for that.
Nick Decoro.
Torrey, the fact that he's had success, Brent Strom, I mean, with so many different types of pitchers, you know, whether it's, you know, the upper echelon of guys, or, you know, kind of more recently, the younger wave that the Astros had, did that make him even more appealing in your mind?
Man, everything about him was appealing, to be honest with you. You know, I knew that he had lived through a couple of really tough seasons in Houston, maybe one 100-loss season, and was developing young pitchers that turned into some of the best pitchers in baseball. He checked every box for me when I was wondering if he would be available. And, you know, I'll never forget the day that I called him and he did say it. You know, I called him and he was heading to a wedding or going to a wedding or at a wedding. And he said, you know, I was hoping this phone call was going to happen. So he had me at hello. Everything he did checked every single box, whether it was something I read, something I heard, something I watched, or certainly something that I was able to get from him in our sit down. He checked every box.
Zach.
I guess just to follow up before I ask what I was going to ask, did you feel confident that you had him that early? Like coming out of that conversation, were you thinking, okay, he's gonna join us?
You know, you guys know me, I'm the eternal optimist, right? But I kept thinking through the course of our sit down that he was there. And the fact that he had driven up 2 hours from Tucson, was sitting with the manager that was in charge of a 52 win team. I kept saying that he's here for a reason and he wants to be here and he would love this job. And maybe I was trying to convince myself of that, but when I called him to offer him the job, he was grateful. So my instincts were fairly correct, but he had shown some interest. The fact, and you know, when you're talking to somebody and you want somebody so bad, you're looking for any type of word or any type of connecting word that they do have that interest. I felt like he wanted to be here. And that was pretty important to me. I want people that want to be here.
And then what I was going to ask is, Brent mentioned maybe having a couple internal candidates for the assistant pitching coach job and maybe a couple of external ones. Are you able to say who any of those guys are?
I'd rather not at this time because we interviewed our first candidate today, and we'll continue doing so. And we've yet to reach out to everybody that we need to reach out to. So I'd rather not, but he said it right. He's offered us a couple of external candidates. We have a couple of very good internal candidates, and we're as a group, you know, we're going to find our time. We're going to find our way to sit down and find the best one that will plug into Brent.
Nick Pecoro.
And then along those lines, Tori, he mentioned maybe having another like pitching coach assistant. Like pitchers are going to be different than.
Oh, Nick, you're breaking up.
Yeah, I don't know if that was me or you, Nick.
Yeah, Nick, you're breaking up on this end.
I was just saying, how is the structure of the coaches? I hope you guys can hear me better now. How is the pitching side going to look compared to the hitting side? What are the, you know, in terms of the big league, minor league responsibilities?
Right. I think, yeah, you guys are fairly well read on what's going on with the pitcher, with the hitters. It's going to be, you know, at this point, we're looking for an assistant and find the best assistant. And we may just stop right there. But I am looking for continuity at all times between all coaches and all levels of our organization. That includes us at the big league level, obviously. But I'm player development in my core. I believe in continuity. So how that shapes down and reaches down into the minor leagues, I'm not sure. But the assistant pitching coach is going to have a lot of responsibility.
Mark Brown.
Just to change gears real quick. Were you surprised with Robbie Ray as a Cy Young Award winner?
Not at all. First of all, a huge congratulations to Robbie. And, you know, we've seen him really good here in Arizona. If we can go back to 17 and he was an all-star and he was lights out and, you know, he made some mechanical adjustments. And I don't know if he necessarily stuck with those adjustments after the 20 season. I think he was built on a lot of that season was built on a lot of frustration and he slowly figured it out and got a really good feel. So I know what he's capable of doing and I'm very proud of him. And I want to congratulate him.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Last question, Zach Buchanan.
I guess kind of somewhat tangentially related to Robbie, you know, finding that kind of success after leaving. Are there any of the things that Brent mentioned of things that the Astros were doing that he wanted to introduce here that really resonated with you?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I know he mentioned we were last in the league second in the league at four seam fastballs down and basically last in the league at four seam fastballs up. You know, to change eye levels and work vertically. It's something that takes place in this league. Hitters are really smart and really good, and they can see side to side. And, you know, the way Brent sat down and explained it to me, because, you know, I was asking as many possible questions as I could. He asked me to, you know, if I were standing in front of a speeding train, would I be able to tell how fast it was coming at me? And I answered no. He said, now, if you take two steps to your right or two steps to your left, can you get a view as to what that train's going to be looking like as it comes at you? And I said, absolutely. He said, well, that's how we're going to work this year. We're going to work vertically in the zone. So at that point, didn't have the job, but I was thinking he already did in my mind. But he said, if I get this position, that's how we're going to work this year. He was full of statements. He was full of reasons why. And I'm a big, I gotta know why. When you make a statement and you tell me why, you're doing a great job. And he was able to do that.
All right, everybody. That's it.
Happy Thanksgiving, Tori.
Thank Likewise, you guys.
Thanks, Tori.
Happy Thanksgiving and all you other guys too.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy holidays.
Thanks, Tori. Thanks, Casey.